Thank you.
I am on. Nice. All right. There. Have you ever noticed that there's lists of 4C words, right? Does anybody know any list of the 4 C's? Really? There's a famous one, and I would say it's the most famous. It's about a certain stone. The 4 C's. No? Never heard of it. Okay. You've never heard about the 4 C's of a diamond?
No.
There's cut, clarity, color, and carat weight. And there's also, there's a whole bunch. There's different ones. There's about marketing. There's about education. Well, I came up with my own. Just pat myself on the back. I came up with my own 4 C's. This is a list of things that you'll definitely encounter in your lifetime. And my 4 C's list is choices, challenges. I'm going to say this wrong, but consequences. I did pretty good. And compromises. Now, choices, the reason I put that first, if you notice, is that it's the most important, because all the other three depend on which choice you make. Now, I'm sure everybody's here has been to a fast food restaurant, right?
Not at all.
Or a restaurant where you have to wait in line and you go up to the register. Well, you're waiting in line, right? And then have you ever gone up to the register? You see that big, long list, that menu list, and you just have no clue what you want. I do. That way you have extra money later, right? The cheapest thing. That's one way to do it. But, I mean, I've been standing in line, and then I start feeling pressure because there's a huge long line behind you, and you're like, oh, I got to make a decision quick, right? So you make that decision. You make that decision because you feel pressured, and then what if you make a bad choice, right? What if you make a bad choice? You know, right choices leaves you happy, right? Leaves you happy. But a bad choice or a wrong choice will leave you with a food with black olives all throughout it. Okay, for those who like black olives, I don't understand. But for those who like black olives, if you make the wrong choice, it makes you leaving wishing that you could have a do-over, right? Go, oh, I wish I would have done this different. Like they're what? Let's turn to Genesis. Pineapple on your pizza. I never understood it. I don't mind it, but I never understood it. Genesis. So that's in the very back of the Bible, right? Last book.
And Revelation is the first.
Right.
I trusted you.
You trusted me. Genesis chapter 13. And for those who do not know, that's the very first book of the Bible. I know. So Genesis chapter 13. We're looking at verses 1 through 4. And Nick, can you read that?
Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. To this up, Abram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his
Okay. Here we are talking about a man named Abram, right? This man named Abram will soon or later be known as, anybody? Abraham. Abraham. We've all heard of Father Abraham, right? Yeah. So Abram is Abraham. He just went by Abram early on, and then he changes his name to Abraham. So was he poor or rich? He was a very wealthy man. And he was moving everything, and I think Nick's version didn't say it, but it said south, but he was moving from Egypt. So that's where he was. So he's moving from Egypt and going to a place between Bethel and Ai. That's basically Israel. It's basically the promised land is where he's moving to, right? Now, it mentions two other people in this text. It has Abram and two other people. One by name and one just by who they were. Lot and his wife. A lot of wife, right? Lot and his wife. So Sarah is Abram's wife, and Lot is Abram's nephew, is his nephew. Now, it's very common, it was very common back then, is that the family lived together, or at least in the next tent, for pretty much their whole lives, right? They'd move around in tribes, or family groups. You know, safety in numbers. They would go around and settle places in these family groups and stick together back then. So it's not uncommon. Now, so knowing this, Abram and Lot, being family, more than likely they were raised very similar, wouldn't you think? So they're pretty much raised the same. And they were both wealthy men. Both wealthy men. You know, they had a lot of things in common, right? They had a whole bunch of herd, different herds, sheep and flocks, and they were raised the same. They were very similar. They originally started out up in Haran. That'd be like Iraq area now, today, but it's Haran. And then they moved down to Egypt. And along that way, when they first were moving down to Egypt, they stopped at this place near Bethel. And Abram built an altar. So it's mentioned that he built the altar to the Lord here, and now he returned and called on the Lord's name. So he returned back where he had built that altar. Let's go back to the text and then read verses 6 through 7. 6 and 7. Ryan, can you read that?
Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock, the herdsmen of Lot's livestock, the Canaanites.
All right, so this land that they were about to settle, this land, it was already populated, right? It's mentioned it's already populated. So just to start out with, Abram and Lot, you know, they came to this region what wasn't empty, so they had to compete for grazing rights, basically. You know, they had to compete for land, you know, which land was theirs. And not only that, they had to compete with others. They had to compete with each other. Because with both of them, you know, their livestock was so large and it was growing bigger and bigger, the land wasn't big enough. It wasn't big enough for the both of them. So it doesn't really specifically say what the strife was or the disputes were, but I can imagine, oh, no, my sheep were on a graze here, not yours. You know, there'd be strife like that, right? They lived too close to each other. You know, there wasn't enough land for both of them in their livestock. And then let's read 8 and 9. Brendan?
So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left."
So Abram and Lot, they reached a challenge, right? A challenge in their life, right? They had this strife, and Abram made a choice that he did not want to fight with somebody that he loved, right? He didn't want to fight with them. He didn't want to fight with Lot. So he made another choice, is to put Lot first above him, and let him choose on where he wanted to go. So verses 10 and 13. We're all following along, right? Makes sense? All right. 10 through 13, Elena. All right. So these two men, Abram and Lot, right? They're ranchers, right? This isn't the first time they've had a flock of sheep or cows. So it's hard for me to believe that this is the first time Lot's looked over at this plain of Jordan. And what was special about this plain at the plain over at Jordan? It was well watered, right? It was well watered, and it looked like the garden of the Lord. You know, that sounds perfect, right? Doesn't it? I mean, I'm not a rancher, but if I was having sheep, I'd be like, oh well, you have to feed them, so let's go where the grass is, right? The garden would be perfect. You know, I start wondering. I wonder to myself a lot, but I start wondering, then why didn't both of these try to start off there first? Why didn't they try to live where all this grass and it was well watered first? And then maybe that land was big enough for both of them. So I got thinking about that. And I think it's because Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, we've heard of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Before just now, haven't we? Sort of, mostly. So Sodom and Gomorrah, was it this nice town? Everybody was really pleasant? No, no. What does the text say about Sodom and Gomorrah, or Sodom? It was very sinful. It was very wicked and sinful. You know, and they sinned against whom? The Lord, right? And then I started digging a little deeper. Excuse me. And later on, in a couple chapters down, is that there's a time when Abram takes or gathers up a band of men to recover goods and people that were taken from Sodom. You know, by a rival king. So there was a rival king, and he went in there and took a whole bunch of stuff, and he captured some people. And Abram went after him, and he got everything back. He pursued them, he conquered them, and he got all the goods back and all the people back. And the king of Sodom was so grateful that he wanted to bless Abram. And this is what Abram tells him. You'll find it in Genesis chapter 14. I guess there's only one chapter away. Genesis 14, verse 21 through 23. Molly, do you feel like reading?
Sure. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread from a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I have made Abram rich.'"
So he made an oath that he wasn't going to allow them to help him out, right? Basically, he wasn't going to take anything from them. So I think both Abram and Lot, you know, they knew of this land. They knew of this land what was well watered and was like a garden. I also think that they knew of the people that lived there. Wouldn't you think they would have investigated? Their neighbors, if you will. So they knew of these people. You know, Abram obviously knew of the people here, right? And by the way he was talking, I would say he knew that they were wicked, right? Because if they were good or righteous people or God-fearing people, he probably would have let them bless them, right? So I think they all knew that. But Lot chose that land, if we remember, right? Lot chose that land. I think Lot was willing to compromise. You know, the land was good. And I could work with the people. I could maybe be a good example, right? So a lot of people will think I could be a good example. But Abram did not want to compromise. I would say Abram did not want to compromise having those people too close. So he knew that there was no way he wanted to make that choice, is to compromise. Galatians. So that is in the back of the Bible. Galatians chapter 9, or chapter 5, I'm sorry. Chapter 5, verse 9. Cassie, do you feel like reading that? Okay, once you get there. So it's Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. Verse 9. A little leaven. All right, I know that's kind of words that we don't really use anymore, right? But anybody know what leaven is? Right, so basically yeast, or right? Yeast, I'm not a baker, but it's basically yeast, right? So that's leaven. And then the lump would be what? Bread or dough or, you know. So there's the lump. So what does it say? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So what do you think that what is that meaning? So what it means is that just putting a little bit of leaven in it Does that leaven just a little bit? Or does it leaven the whole thing? It leavens the whole thing, right? So if you put a little bit of yeast in there, yeast is the whole thing. You know, it'll yeast the whole thing. So Abram may have seemed strict and rigid. No, I do not want to compromise. But he knew that compromising is a slippery slope. Compromising is a slippery slope. Because once you have a little bit, and just a little bit more, just a little bit more until you compromise your whole moral standard, right? Too many Christians have fallen prey to the idea that they can handle a little bit of sin in their life. It's just a little bit of sin. You know, because sooner or later you start thinking, you know what? I've already done this. I guess I might as well keep doing this because I've already done it. You know, I've already drank alcohol. And I might as well keep going. You know, I've already had sex. Might as well keep doing it. You know, I've already cheated on a test. And I like good grades, right? I've already seen porn. I might as well just keep watching it. You know, the list can go on and on. It can just go keep going on. And that's where our compromise just can start growing. Lot desired the rich land by the Jordan. He desired that. He longed for it. He looked at it. You know, his desires did not define him. His desires did not define him. They don't make you, your desires don't make you who you are. However, your choices do. Your choices do. Abram may have wanted to live in a well-watered land, right? It makes sense for a farmer or a rancher. He'd probably like to live somewhere what looked like a garden of the Lord. But he chose not to because he didn't want to compromise. Now, remember earlier when I told you about Abram and he went after that those group what took captive people from Sodom and their goods? It wasn't that long ago, so you all should remember that, right? So, Lot was one of them. Actually, Lot is the reason Abram went after those people in the first place. Because of his family. Because he loved them. And he went there to save them. He went after those raiders. And after being saved, Lot was so joyful that he returned to the wicked city of Sodom. You know, he was so grateful that his uncle saved him, but he went back to the wicked city. And then God judged Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? And this is probably where you've heard their names. Now, Lot barely escapes. You know, thanks to Abram. Again, Abram looking out for him. Now, his wife, Lot's wife, wasn't as lucky. And you could read about that at a different time. But he wasn't so lucky, or she wasn't so lucky. But when he was in Sodom, he actually did some questionable things and was willing to give his daughters to this angry mob to appease them. So he did some questionable choices, right? And then after he escaped, there was some drunkenness and some temptation. So Lot made a lot of choices. And you could say that Lot didn't make all the right choices. Let's read in 2 Peter. So it's even further than Galatians, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Nick, can you read that? And then let's go back to Genesis chapter 13. Verse 14 through 17. Ryan, can you read that?
And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Northward, southward. For the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you.
All right, so there's two different outcomes of these men, right? One, you see that he was tormented daily. And the other, what? He was blessed abundantly. Now, these two men with the same background, right? They're both rich. They both had every opportunity, the same opportunities. Because of their choices, two very different outcomes, wouldn't you say? Now, Abram, he did not always make the right choice. And then there's Lot. We know that Lot had a lot of trouble, right? He made a lot of bad choices. But with God's grace, he's still found righteous. Because he might have had, you know, troubles or making bad choices in specific areas, but he was trying to do good. Right? Same with Abram. He was trying to do good. He probably did a little bit better than Lot, but he was trying to do good. They're both trying to do good. And with God's grace, you're not condemned with one bad choice or two bad choices. You know, those are in the past. Those are in the past. You know, Lot was still found righteous enough to escape the judgment that Sodom had coming. But you have to wonder, how much better would Lot's life have been if he made better choices? Right? Better places to live. How much better? I think we all should be striving to make better choices. Brendan, can you end us in prayer?